Welcome to Jets Rewind. This is Marty Shupak, and I'm recording this from our studios in Valley Cottage, New York, just over the Tappan Zee Bridge next to NYAC, in case you all are wondering where we're located. Today is Tuesday. It's March 8th, and I am recording this at 9 o'clock. March 8th is a, if you follow sports, that's a famous date in history, because March 8th, 1971, Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier in their first matchup in one of the fights of the century. And I happened to go to the fight closed circuit at the Westchester County Center in White Plains, which was interesting, something I had a fight for with my parents. The ticket was $20. But anyway, back to football, the Jets and the NFL. The salary cap was set $208.2 million. It was an increase of $25.7 million per team from last year. And they put that out right ahead of free agency, which is going to start in a few days. Teams are franchising players now, left and right. They're tagging them. Some of them are being let go. Some names are being let go, which we'll get into in a minute. Now, Aaron Rodgers signed a contract, or agreed to a contract, 4 years, $200 million. Russell Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos for a whole slew of draft picks, a couple of number ones, number twos, and some others. And boy, I'd love to be a fly in the wall at Jamal Adams' house tonight, just to see what he's been saying. Now, how does this affect the Jets? Well, it does affect the Jets in a certain way, which I'll get into in a minute. It's nothing really effective yet, but the quarterback dominoes are just starting to fall. And I know today, or was it yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo had shoulder surgery. So there's going to be some movement the next week, 2 weeks in the quarterback position. Unfortunately, and we've said this hundreds of times, it's not a strong quarterback class in the draft. However, with the showing at the combine and the quality of athletes, I still think you're going to see some movement. Ideally, I would love for Joe Douglas and the Jets to trade down a few spots or whatever they could trade down to get an extra number two. I'd love to go into this draft with two number ones and three number twos. I think there's great value, as I said before, from picks like 11 to 38. Daniel Jeremiah, he thinks the quality is not that much of a difference from pick 6 to 60. Okay, anyway, let's go over who was tagged. Some of them, Jet fans and the Jets Twitter crowd, had their target on for the green and white. Chris Godwin was tagged, the wide receiver from Tampa Bay. Cam Robinson was tagged, the tackle from the Jaguars. Devontae Adams was tagged, the wide receiver from Green Bay. Dalton Schultz, the tight end from Dallas. I'm sorry, Jet fans. I know you had your heart set on him. Orlando Brown, the tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs. Jesse Bates, the safety from the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, I know Jet fans had their heart set on this guy. David Njoku, the tight end from the Browns. What's interesting there, you're seeing the tight end position become such a premium position in the NFL. Teams are just tight end crazy. And I really believe it was started by Bill Belichick when he just started accumulating one tight end after the other. But Njoku, who really is considered a tight end too, his tag was for $10.931 million, which I find fascinating. He didn't have over 500 yards receiving last year. I predict that they are going to have a deal in the works. and I think it's going to be fairly soon. Mike Gesicki, the New Jersey native, he signed, or he was tagged by the Miami Dolphins. Some Jet fans, they really wanted him, again, to wear the green and white. Now, a couple of players that were not tagged, J.C. Jackson, the defensive back of the Patriots, he's going to be too much money for the Jets. He's a really good ball hawk. I have my questions about his devotion to football after he signs the contract. What we don't need another Trumaine Johnson. And someone else who wasn't tagged was a linebacker from the Tennessee Titans, Harold Landry, who's an interesting player. He's only 25. I'd be a little suspicious why they didn't tag him. Last season, he had 12 sacks, 22 quarterback hits, and 75 tackles. Again, he's only 25. He's had 31 career sacks in 4 years. I don't understand why the Titans didn't prepare in advance so they could keep him. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, I just want to mention too now, and I said that it doesn't affect the Jets, these quarterback situation with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. But indirectly, it can affect them, and I'll tell you why. The Packers, with the signing of Rodgers, and again, I'm not a capologist or a cap expert, but with the signing of Rodgers and Dante Adams, a wide receiver, they are committing a lot of money to two players. I'm not sure how much money they have left in the war chest. And the reason this is interesting, because they have a linebacker that I really like. His name is Devondre Campbell, who had an unbelievable year this year. He was the first team All-Pro. The linebacker is 6'3", 232. He had 146 tackles, 102 solo. He assisted on 44. And he does struggle a little bit in pass coverage, so he'd be a perfect linebacker for the Jets. But here's a key stat, then I'll get into why it could be a marriage there. He only missed 4 games in the last 5 years. All right, to me, that's a very, very important statistic. It's one of my favorites. If you listen to me, you know I love players that stay on the field. Now, the interesting part is he was on Atlanta, and he played for Jeff Ulrich. I think it was either 3 years or 4 years. So there's some sort of relationship there. I'm not sure the Packers have a choice. I'm sure they would love to keep him. I know he's got a very good relationship with the head coach, Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, I believe, when he was the assistant quarterbacks coach with Atlanta, developed a very good relationship with Devondre Campbell. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers realize that they can't really commit a lot of money to Campbell. And he's going to be looking for a payday. He's coming off an all-pro year. He made the first team. He had an 85.8 pro football focus grade. I don't put a lot of stock into that. But this is a player that the Jets should look into. And they would have to decide, Jeff Ulrich and Robert Saleh, if he would be a good fit. But it's definitely worth looking into. All right, now, as far as the free agents in the next few days, we've heard a lot of names, and I'll go over a few of them. At safety, a lot of Jet fans are in love with Marcus Williams, who would be a great pickup. He really would. Tyrann Mathieu from Kansas City is a free agent. So is Condre Diggs from the Seahawks. They're probably going to sign one of those players, okay? Now, as far as other positions, I am counting on the Jets to sign a guard. And the three guards that I really want them to target would be Austin Corbett from the Rams. He's 26 and a half years old. Or James Daniel from the Bears. He's 24 and a half years old. Or Laken Tomlinson from the 49ers. He's 30 years old. Laken Tomlinson was a former first round pick, I believe, by the Detroit Lions. He did play like a first round pick, but for whatever reason, I don't know if the clock went off in his head or his body, the last 2 years, he's been really stepping it up and he looks good. So those three, I really believe the Jets are going to land one of them, either Austin Corbett from the Rams, James Daniel from the Bears, or Laken Tomlinson from the 49ers. Now, as far as other positions, the name that's been floating around is Ryan Jensen, the brilliant center from Tampa Bay. The Jets are one team that's been talked about. So are the Jaguars. Apparently, it's between three teams, the Buccaneers re-signing him, the Jaguars, and the Jets. I'd be pretty surprised if he signs with the Jaguars. I would say Tampa Bay. I'd say the Jaguars have about a 10% chance of signing him. Tampa Bay has probably a 60% chance, and the Jets probably about 30. But another alternate, if you're looking for a center, they might want to look into Baltimore, Bradley Bozeman, who's 27. He's also a free agent. So if they did pick up Ryan Jensen, they would not keep Connor McGovern. They just couldn't do it. And I think it's an upgrade. No doubt it's an upgrade. And that's what you want to do. If they sign Ryan Jensen and one of the guards, now you're formulating a very, very good offensive line. And you might want to devote your first round with the two picks to a different skill position rather than an offensive line. This draft is so deep in offensive linemen. You could pick up a player in the second, third, or sometimes even the fourth round. Okay, I just want to briefly touch on the combine roundup. I think it is highly overrated, though I think it's enjoyable. The 40-yard dash, what a lot of people have been talking about, was Jordan Davis, who ran it, this huge defensive lineman from Georgia. He ran the 40 in 4.78. Interestingly enough, when Pat Mahomes ran the 40, he did it in 4.8. Now, Jordan Davis showed up lighter than during the season. And if you remember, and I mentioned it before, the first Alabama game, they picked up the tempo at one point, trying to gas Jordan Davis, and it happened to work. Don't put too much emphasis on everything that happened, especially the 40-yard dash. I went through some old 40s. Emmitt Smith ran it in 4.55. Santana Moss ran it at 4.31. Darius Heyward-Bey was the seventh overall pick a number of years ago by the Raiders. He ran it in 4.3. He just did not last long in the league. Some of the exercises and drills they had, I happen to like. I happen to enjoy the linemen when they were doing the figure eight. One player that really caught my eye, and I hate to get caught up in this, is this defensive back from University of Texas at San Antonio, Tariq Woolen. He looks like such a tremendous athlete. He's a converted wide receiver, defensive back, but looking at his size, 6'4" and an eighth inch height, and he ran a 4.6 40, which is really stunning to me. And he might have moved up in the second round. I don't know if I would take a shot at him. If I had an extra second round pick, I might. But this guy is some athlete. So that's basically it. I thought that the NFL did a pretty good job with the combine. Again, I find it overrated, but I find it enjoyable. Couple of items too. The Patriots let go of Kyle Van Noy. The Jets are not named as a possibility. Rumored are the Raiders, Steelers, and Giants. My money is on the Raiders because they have the new coach who was with the Patriots. It came out that Buffalo might part ways with Cole Beasley. And one of the rumors is that if they part ways with him, they're going to sign or have their eye on Braxton Berrios, which would be tough to swallow for a Jet fan. And, you know, I spoke about Berrios, and I keep flip-flopping with the situation. And I'm wondering if if the Jets had a choice, let's say, to get Amari Cooper and pay him $20 million or get Braxton Berrios and pay him, let's say, $7 million a year, which would we rather do? I might want to do the Braxton Berrios for a number of years and try to pick up the wide receiver in the draft. It's so deep in wide receiver. I love the two guys from Ohio State, which everyone knows. The receiver from Arkansas, he didn't do great in the 40, which I don't think is a big deal. So the Jets have to really figure out what their plan is. Their draft will depend on what they do in free agency. Joe Douglas will have different scenarios. If A happens, then we do B. If C happens, then we do D. I really believe the Jets are going to go into free agency and sign some players. And I think they're going to sign multiple players because they want to surround Zach Wilson with experienced players. They want to put him in the best position to succeed. And I really believe they'll do that. Now, I mentioned that going through the tag players, tight end is becoming such a premium position. On the last show, I mentioned that I spoke to Ralph Schrager, and we both agreed that they should target Hayden Hurst of Atlanta, who would be a good fit for the Jets. If they sign him and they picked up another receiver in the draft, like Jeremy Ruckett from Ohio State, I can live with that. I would even consider bringing in Tyler Croft back. He was injured. The little sample size we had, I liked what I saw from the guy. So that's something to consider. Again, tight ends are at a premium. I love the guy, Dulcich from UCLA also. Jet fans, I think you can forget about them going after J.C. Jackson. I really don't believe that they're going to do that. The Colts' two-time Pro Bowl tight end, Jack Doyle, retired after nine seasons in the NFL. So there's another team that's going to need a tight end. Now, I just want to talk about something else as a Jet fan. Okay, let me just take a swig of my water. Two of the biggest issues that I have such a hard time stomaching as a Jet fan have been the last couple of years when we lost, I know we said over and over again, the Raider game at the very end when they got behind Lamar Jackson, our defensive back, and the Tampa Bay game when they got behind Elijah Riley, our safety. I am so sick and tired of this, and I can't tell you. A lot of Jet fans were happy with the way they played against Tampa Bay, but look, to me, it's either you win or you lose. There's nothing in between. And I was sick over that game when they got behind this safety. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if they take Kyle Hamilton, if I knew it wouldn't happen, I could be happy with that. But the other thing that drives me crazy over the years is the field goal kicking and the extra points. I go berserk when we miss the extra points, and I go berserk when we miss the short field goals. I really would like the Jets to do something about this kicking situation. Now, this isn't a knock against Eddie Pinheiro. The guy came in late in the season and he's been lights out. But it's such a small sample size. I really want the Jets to be aggressive. And I'll just give you an example. Last year, I wanted the Jets to draft this kicker McPherson from Florida. The Bengals drafted him in the fifth round, and this guy is going to be lights out for the next 20 years. You could just see it if you followed him. The Patriots, our rival up I-95, they had Adam Vinatieri from 1996 to 2005. From 2006 to 2019, they had Steven Gostkowski. 23 years, they had two kickers, and the guys were unbelievable. Joe Douglas, he has really got to commit to solving this kicking situation. And you can't be cheap not using a draft pick. All right. When the Patriots drafted Gostkowski, they picked him in the fourth round. And look, the guy played 13 years. And how many Super Bowls did he play on? Four, five, whatever it is. It was unbelievable. Now, the good news is, I recommended McPherson last year. This year, I want Joe Douglas to use one of his fifth round picks to draft a guy from LSU. His name is Cade York. He is a tremendous kicker. Just so you know, let me read a couple of things. He was a second team All-American as a sophomore in 2020. He connected on 15 of 18 field goals in 2021, including a 56-yarder in the win over McNeese. He went 5-for-7 on field goals of at least 50 yards during the regular season, including a 50-yarder in the win over number 14, Texas A&M. York, he holds a school record for most 50-yard field goals in a career with 15. He extended his LSU record streak of consecutive PATs to 118, and he went 39-for-39. It's the third year he appeared on the All-SEC team. I want the Jets to draft Cade York from LSU. Please, Joe Douglas, draft this kid. The only negative is he doesn't do kickoffs, which is fine, because we have our punter, Braden Mann, that does kickoffs anyway, and he can work his way into that. I don't know what the deal is with that. Again, it's not a knock about Eddie Pinheiro. I would keep him under contract. Draft Cade York in the fifth round. All right, we're going to close this out. I was going to get into the gambling issue that was all over the news the last 48 hours with Calvin Ridley. I won't. Just a quick comment is that I think he's not the only one who has bet on games. And it's kind of sad to me that the NFL has seven sponsors that are involved in gambling. And they just make it so easy for you to gamble. It's unbelievable. And if you're in New York on Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 10, there's a show on gambling. And what's his name does it. It's a very good, very, very good show. But it's funny because it's Evan Roberts' partner. I forgot his name already. But what's really ironic is the show ends at 10 o'clock. And if you stay on the radio, sometimes at 10:02, you hear ads for gambling. It's just kind of ironic. And it's not a great situation. I'm not thrilled by what's going on with all this gambling. And even though Jets Rewind is free, I'm contacted every week by these gambling advertisers. They want to advertise on my show. I'm not saying I'll never do it. I think everyone has a price, but I'm just not crazy about the whole setup. And it's Craig Carton was the guy's name. Okay. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate that. Anyway, I'm going to close it out for Marty Shupak and Jets Rewind. Until next time on Friday, We have our mock draft 2.0 with Ralph Schrager and Ray Clifford. So hopefully you'll tune in on Friday night and all weekend. This has been Marty Shupak for Jets Rewind. Please go to our site. And please, I see that everyone begs, and now I'm begging. If you can, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a thumbs up. All that good stuff that all my kids and grandkids know what to do, but I have no idea. Until next time.